You're listening to The Sports Rabbi, hosted by Josh Halichman.
We're back with the Sports Rabbi, Josh Halichman. Welcome aboard to the Sports Rabbi Show, Holy Land Hoops. We're bringing the best of Israeli basketball all the way up north in Aria, down south a lot, and all the great cities in between Tel Aviv, Jerusalem. I guess it's going to be Belgrade, and many, many more. And of course, if you like this podcast, and I know that you do, make sure you subscribe to us. Leave us a five-star rating. Write us a nice review. You can get us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts. Check us out on social media at The Sports Rabbi, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, sportsrabbi.com for the latest and greatest news, both in English and Hebrew. We deliver to you in both languages, of course. The WhatsApp group is in Hebrew. Moshe Halichman, the head of the Hebrew website, manages that. All the latest news and breaking updates goes to that WhatsApp group in real time, so you can make sure you check that out. Tons of articles, tons of interviews. Lots of stuff going on here with the Sports Rabbi. Danny Avdia back. Neil Dalal, of course, gives us all of our exclusive content on Danny Avdia. And he has a brand new piece that's going to be out today. Did a podcast with Neil earlier in the week on Danny Avdia's, you know, extension, everything going on, of course, his feelings about Israel. So lots of good Danny Avdia content there. Paul Tel Aviv is playing. Maccabi Tel Aviv, we'll get to them shortly. They pretended to play last night against Monaco. And much, much more. And of course, to talk all about the latest news, we bring on my good friend and pal, Ben Pask. It's been a while. How you doing there, Ben? What's going on, baby?
Hey, Josh. Good to be here. What's going on? I think we all know what's going on, but it's good to be able to focus a little bit on sport to distract us, the escapism, Israelis like to say.
Yeah, now I have a question for you. Where are you located right now? Are you in your safe room? Are you near a shelter? Just in case that, you know, I don't want to, you know, if there's a siren that goes off because of our good friends in Gaza decide to deliver a salvo of missiles towards the center of the country where you're located.
So I'm in my office in my apartment, which is next to our safe room, which is also our daughter's bedroom at regular times, which makes it easier for us if they're home and a siren goes off. But my daughters are in daycare. They went back this week. They've got the old one is in a regular daycare room, which has a safe room next to it. The younger one, they had to move from their regular location into a building, and they're actually just in the safe room doing all their activities. Thank God, as I said to a lot of friends, we have a defense force which is defending us with the Iron Dome and other things. We see the rockets coming, and we're lucky we have a government that cares for its people and is trying to prevent, you know, any further massacres. That's in a nutshell.
Yeah, Sports Rabbi here in Jerusalem, so we haven't had a siren in a while, I guess probably about a week and change, week and a half and change or so.
And when was the last siren that we had, Josh?
That you had? It had to be as soon as tip-off took place against Maccabi Tel Aviv in Monaco last night. It's exactly if the terrorists decided, you know, the Maccabi game's coming on, people are watching the game right now, we are going to launch a slew of rockets into the center of the country, which some did actually hit some buildings at various locations. So it is important to get to those safe rooms. It saves lives, and that's why they're there. The timing couldn't have been more perfect, I guess, Ben.
It set the tone for the game as well.
Yeah, you took the words out of my mouth there. Definitely set the tone for the game. Maccabi Tel Aviv, Monaco. I was like really looking forward to this game. It was actually a game on my list of potentials to go to before the war broke out. Because Maccabi played Monaco to a great, thrilling five-game series. Mm-hmm. I was in Monaco last year. For games 1, 2, and 5, it was amazing. The atmosphere was great. The basketball was incredible. The level was superb. And, you know, this really had all the makings, except this year with the war, Maccabi Tel Aviv was nowhere to be found in this game. I mean, literally nowhere to be found. They lose 107-79 I mean, they were just awful. There was no defense, and that was right from the outset. Halftime scores 52-38, and it just got worse from there, 85-57 after three quarters. It's like, Maccabi can't look that way. I mean, you know, they didn't even look this bad against Valencia. I know Valencia is not a very good team, and they don't have a player like, Mike James, who is just, superb. Mike James just really sliced them up for 24 points. Alpha Diallo, 18 points. 17 points for Elio Kobo, 11 points, John Brown, 10 apiece for Jaron Ball, some game, Kemba Walker. It's interesting to see Kemba Walker play. And it's funny because when I watched him play, you can see that he is like an NBA player. There's a certain attributes to his game that look so familiar to the one that we saw him play for so many years, if it was with the Hornets and other teams as well. Did an interview with Jaron Boston game right before the game, and he talked about his love of Israel, how he really had a great time, even though his team did not do well in Nahariya, that he had a great year in Israel. And he was a great guest, and we'll have him on a podcast at some point. But he was terrific. But Maccabi Tel Aviv were pathetic. I mean, again, Valencia, you expect it. They come out against Panathinaikos, and they were totally focused. They had a week to prepare for this game. Now, I know that the situation is not ideal, Ben. We understand that. We know that, I don't know who came home, who didn't. The team is very hush-hush. We don't know who was in Israel, who was in Cyprus, where they've been training, if they were in Belgrade, where they're going to be playing their home games without any fans, starting with the November 9th game against Bayern Munich. So it's just an odd situation. I get all that. But you can't look the way they looked last night. You just can't do it. I mean, they were pathetic. I mean, it was worse than pathetic. I don't even know how to describe how poorly they played and how poorly the effort was and how just they just weren't there. I mean, they were like ghosts. Listening to Oded Kattash, right before they start the second half, and he was, obviously not happy. And then afterwards, after the game, he was just like totally distraught. He says, we're going to have to sit down and talk about this. But there was an interesting line, Ben, that he did say when he spoke. And I took a little note of that. And I don't want to start reading into these things. It's always tough to start reading into things. Is it accurate? Is it not accurate? Is there truth to this? Is there not? Is there something more? Is there something more going on there? And I'll read you the full quote. I think we lost the game the way we approached this game. We were not aggressive and not even close. This was not our level. You can lose games, but not in this way. Nothing was there, not the energy. We are better than that, both sides. Something happened. And that's the two words that I was interested in. Something happened. What happened? Then he continued on, we need to sit all together and talk about it and make sure this won't happen again. What is the something that happened, Ben Pask?
That's a good question. We could speculate all day about what happened. I'm sure you've thought about this more than me, so I want to ask you what you think the what happened is.
There's a lot of ways to go with this. Number one, English is not his first language. And it could have just been, well, just something happened. There's nothing more to read into it than that. Just something happened in the game and we just weren't there. So that's, that is the face value that you can take that comment on.
That's probably that would be my guess, only because he usually gives more of a clue rather than something happened if there is something behind the scenes, like, I don't want to get into it, etc. What else do you think that could be disputes between players being affected, like specific players being affected by the war on a more personal level? What other things could it be?
Right. So again, that's probably what it is. But because again, English is not his first language. But then again, there is a lot to think about here. And just look at the quotes here. I think we lost the game the way we approached this game, and something happened. So, and I know Oded doesn't waste words, especially in Hebrew. Doesn't waste words. If there's an issue, he says it. Now, obviously, he's not going to hang any bit out to dry. Everybody knew that there was not a very good relationship between him and Darren Hillier last season. We all get that. Now, what could have happened here? It could be that some of the players want out of Maccabi Tel Aviv because they don't have a home now for a whole year and they're nomads. Now that, you know, they signed up to live in Tel Aviv, not to live in Belgrade or to base in Cyprus. Now, I get that. Some players may be upset about that. Maybe there was a EuroLeague Players Association meeting that, you know, that really, you know, caused issues. There was earlier in the week, some of the teams, Fenerbahce, Efes, and the Spanish teams that have licenses wanted to shut Maccabi down for the season. Barcelona, Real Madrid, and Baskonia. Is that a factor? Are other players and other teams talking to them? The Maccabi Tel Aviv media is keeping the players under wraps big time. I mean, you see nothing posted. You don't hear anything about them from them. It's like Maccabi Tel Aviv only exists when the actual game is played for the 40 minutes. That's it. There's nobody available for quotes. There's nobody being interviewed. There's no one around. Nobody knows where they are. The information is minimal at best. Is that the way to run a professional sports franchise? There's a war going on and they're under threat, okay? An Israeli team in any location is under threat. That's just obvious. That's why they're not allowing any fans into the home games in Belgrade. So there is a lot of issues. Maybe players just want out. I can't blame them. They signed a contract thinking one thing and then something else happened. But I hate to break it to everybody. When you sign a contract to play for an Israeli team, anything can happen. And now there are a lot of players across the board in the league that are stuck in a bad position. I do know that the league sent out a letter to a letter out to all the players, which was not well received. That I do know. And I can even, there's some stuff in that letter that is just things aren't normal. And I think we're going to talk a lot about that today, Ben. They talked about the devastating things and, having received the approval from Israeli authorities to resume sporting activities, we invite all players to return to Israel and rejoin full practice sessions with their respective teams, as our aim is to restart the league by November 24th. We assure you that the league will be played with safety as the first priority. Israel is gradually returning to normalcy with schools and other institutions resuming operations. As mentioned, professional sports will soon be back in full swing. Please be assured that the state of Israel and all of us in the Winter League will do everything within our power to ensure your safety upon your return. I mean, Ben, do you believe that?
You have to. I mean,
honestly, you're sending this to players. You're sending this, it's in English. You're sending it to foreign players, okay? Let's be honest here for a minute. Nothing is normal in the country.
No, I mean, you got to understand, like, people need to understand as well. This is a country where things are never normal. At the same time, you said people sign up to play in Israel and things happen. I don't think anyone was expecting anything like this when they signed. Definitely not Lorenzo Brown, Wade Baldwin, Bonzi Colson when they signed their extensions. And I don't blame them. These are guys, they don't have the emotional connection to Israel like the Israeli players, obviously the Jewish American players. And we see it, we're having a conversation yesterday about the foreign, especially the women's players, who don't, the ones that are also Israeli citizens that don't necessarily show the same support on social media, ignore everything, or the ones who have played here and they just don't see the Israeli perspective in this war at all. Like, I don't blame, if there are any of these players, Maccabi, any other team who want out, I honestly don't blame them. They're here for professional reasons, not for anything else. What does the league do? What do the teams do? They've got, everyone has their own agenda when it comes to it.
Of course.
The league doesn't want things to deteriorate, that there are no foreign players here. It's discussed a lot and documented how weak, I guess, the league is without the foreign players. And right. It would be It would be bad for the lake.
Honestly. Oh, no, there's no question. I mean, I'll tell you this. A few years ago when there was that operation in Maine, a lot of foreigners left. The only real foreigner that stayed from like Rishon was Akil Mitchell and, you know, some of the Maccabi guys and whatever it was. You know, there are other foreigners that did come to Israel to take their places. Like, other foreigners will come. There's always people that will sign to come and play in Israel, just as you have people that sign all the time to play in places like Iran, Lebanon, Syria, or Jordan. So you're always going to have players that will come play. Now, they may not be the top players that will come play here, but they're in a situation, and I totally get it. Now, you know, I don't, you know, you're trying to quell an uprising probably with a lot of these teams. I mean, you see yesterday Kendall McCollum signed with a Polish team, and, you know, Ramek Gun came out hard, and their chairman said that he's under our contract, and we're not letting him out of the contract. We're paying him, and he has no right to sign with another team. And we saw that also with Yannick Morera, who had signed that, who supposedly signed with the team, and then he walked that back and didn't sign with the team. There's a lot of different situations here, but you can't sell the players a bill of goods right now when they see what's going on in the media, and they're not in Israel, and their families are pressing them and saying, well, are you nuts? You're going to go back to Israel? What, are you crazy? How can they assure you that you're going to be safe? You want to sit in a safe room? You want to play a basketball game, and then all of a sudden, at tip-off, the sirens go off, and you have to race to a safe room with no fans? And people have to remember, and I had a meeting with some people last night, and, you know, they said that we had a lot of experience managing things during COVID, like, you know, really tough situations, and that is all true. The only difference is here is that in COVID, the whole world shut down. Here, it's just Israel that's shutting down. And that's a big difference. It's a big, big, big difference. And we have to be cognizant of that fact. You know, I've come up with all different types of ideas for what the basketball league could do. I think that they should combine teams, just have Israeli teams, like four teams playing in Jerusalem for the next few months, see how things go. Just to, you know, just will primarily be Israeli players. And, you know, you combine Afula with, say, Galil. You combine Haifa with Kiryat Atta. And whatever foreigners want to play, great. Whatever. The league takes over the teams, in essence. You have these.
I'm waiting for you to say combine Maccabi with Hapoel Tel Aviv.
All the teams that are playing in Europe remain in Europe.
Yeah.
I'm just talking about the other teams that, you know, just don't have enough players and play some kind of round robin and play it in Jerusalem. I mean, where at least now where there's no restrictions, you have two arenas where you can play. You have the old Malka Arena that seats over 2,000 people. You're not going to get that anyways. And you have the big Pius Arena. So you can get some stuff on TV. There's obviously, you know, TV rights that are impacted here. There's the lottery that is losing, you know, millions and millions and millions and millions of shekels every single day. If you want to try to do, and then at least this gives Israeli players a chance to play. You want to scratch not having a little meat league for the first 6 months and just play this type of fun type of league, at least. And again, it's not, I don't want to say it's fun and people are going to really pay attention to it and all that, but it also gives these players a chance to do something, and that's their profession. And to at least, you know, keep in shape. It's just a shame to have a player say like Ben Saraf just not playing right now. He's a 17-year-old.
It's not only for the players. You mentioned, you know, it's, people might not pay attention to it. I think there are a lot of people who will be paying attention to something like that because they need some sort of distraction. Like, we need distractions. I look forward to watching Maccabi on TV. I look forward to watching.
Everybody was looking forward to seeing Maccabi last night, and he laid the proverbial egg.
Yeah, but not only that, but we need distractions for you know, it's a mental health issue as well. We can't just be focusing on media and everything that's happening. Like, we're not ignoring it. Obviously, you know, a siren goes off, we're not going to just sit and ignore it, but. For us, we need these distractions. So I think it's not only important for these players, it's important for the public as well. And you're not going to be getting full stadiums. You may not have due to the situation, you may not be able to open the stadiums, but just to be able to have something going on, and for the players especially. I mean, I know for me, and also probably for you, we have our jobs that we do, and we for me, it's great to be able to go and earn money, be able to focus on other things, and I think they need that as well. I mean, we see on social media a lot of them are returning to practice now, which is great, but they're practicing for something. They really need the games as well.
Of course, we're here with Ben Pass, Sports Rabbi, wrapping up the latest in Israeli news here. All right, so again, that's I think we've discussed this a little bit, but we'll have to see where things go at this point. The soccer league has a lot easier situation because they don't rely solely on the foreign players. There may be five foreign players on a team, and you have like 20 plus other players, plus you have a whole youth system. So you have plenty of players that are capable of filling in, and you can still have a decent product. The issue is going to be, of course, that how you're going to play in a stadium in Tel Aviv when there's Mississauga's still coming in. So we're going to have to see how that all works out. Let's get back to the Maccabi game just for a minute. On the Maccabi side, Antonius Cleveland, Lorenzo Brown, 14 points apiece, 10 points apiece from Josh Nebo and Roman Sorkin. And again, I don't think there's much else. Like you said, you were going to write a good, bad, and ugly for this game. I was like, just forget it. There's nothing to really write about. I mean, there's just nothing. There's nothing to write about. The game is, it's done. They have now Milan.
It's all. It was Tuesday. All bad. It was all ugly.
Yeah, there was nothing good other than Omer Meyer getting some time as 17-year-old to play 6.5 minutes. That was basically the highlight of the game, at least for Moshe. I mean, he was like, wow, Omer Meyer's coming in. But, like, there was just nothing, there's nothing to take from this game other than also James Webb has disappointed. I think we've seen enough already to kind of see that this is not, going to work. Jake Cohen only played 10 minutes and was very ineffective. And, John D, he only had 2 points against Panathinaikos. He was amazing. Now, again, that's also credit to Monaco. I mean, Monaco is very good, and they really locked down. They went for the, they're one of the best teams in the league.
We didn't mention it earlier. I know you said halftime it was 52-38. At the end of the first quarter, it was 27-23. I said to my neighbor I was watching with, I said, mazal, like it's lucky that it's only 4 points.
Yeah.
And both teams were relatively ordinary, and it was lucky Maccabi was still in the game. But then on those second and third quarters, in 25-15.
Oh, the third quarter was just, it was a disgrace. I mean, that third quarter was just, it was a disaster. I mean, especially,
Something happened.
Yeah, something happened, and we're going to have to find out what that is that happened. But listen, I feel bad for all the players. I mean, it's just a bad situation. Hapoel Tel Aviv, let's get to them. They had a good game, Ben.
It was refreshing to watch. Like, as an Israeli, it's great to see Israeli teams win, especially at times like this. And I'll get, I'll get better enough for as a Maccabi fan saying that I'm happy to see Hapoel Tel Aviv going well. But best of times, I love Israeli basketball being strong. Mm-hmm. And especially now, it's so good seeing them really playing well. And again, I think they're, especially against Hamburg, was really, their defense was horrible. I mean, I don't know if you watched the game, but I watched it.
Hamburg, horrible, listen, horrible. Let's be honest. Hamburg is not a good team. Venice, who they beat the week before, not a good team. The Reds won 111-72. But they're good also. Let's be honest here. They're very good. I mean, Xavier Munford, 22 points. Brian Angola, Jalen Horde, 18 points apiece. 13 points apiece. Tomer Ginach, Coben Brown. I mean, Bartimore, 7 points. Zalmanson with 8 points. They're extremely good. No matter who they're playing, Hamburg was not in the game from the get-go. If you want to read an interview that Lucas Feldhaus, our European correspondent based in Germany, did with Benko Balkowski, the head coach of Hamburg, and it's a really interesting interview. If you really want to understand a little bit about Hamburg and who he is as a person, I think you should read it. He also has an extremely strong quote about Israel as well, and I'll read that in a minute. But I think here, one of the things, and I heard this on some of the other Hebrew language podcasts, Ben, that the difference between Maccabi and Hapoel is that Hapoel have some really senior Israeli Sabra, Israeli-born players, and Tomer Ginat, Barty Moore, Idan Zalmanson. And that makes a big difference. And I'm not saying, I'm not discounting John DiBartolomeo, Jake Cohen, Roman Sorkin, Rafi Menko, Tamir Blatt. But those are three senior national team players, national team captain, guys that have been around the block. That's a makes a big difference in a team, especially right now, Ben.
Not only that, but Maccabi has the continuity as well. But look at the players that and how long they've been in Israel as well. You're Jacobin Brown. How long has he been in Israel?
Long time.
He's been there a long time. He's not one of the players who joined last year. And remember, Maccabi, a whole new team of foreign, like all the foreign players last year were new. None left over. So this for them, it's their second season. They've had the highs of last season immediately to the lows. Jacobin Brown, I don't know when he was here, but a lot of these people went on the Maccabi's team weren't here in 2021 when there was the last period of rockets being fired consistently to the center of the country. And you've got the foreign players as well. It's not only the continuity in the team, but the foreign players who have more experience in Israel. And I think it's definitely shows and it helps.
Yeah, there's no question. I was in touch with Itai Berger, their press guy, the team manager. I was in touch with him. I think it was yesterday. I just wanted to just say hi and congratulate him and he's a good friend. And he says you just caught us just before we're taking off to come back home to Israel. So now I don't know who's coming home to Israel, right? I don't know if the foreign players are going somewhere else. I don't know. We still don't know 100% where they're going to be playing their road games. Looks like Belgrade. It hasn't been official yet.
They're home games.
They're home games. I don't know where they're going to be, but it seems like Belgrade is going to be the place. Looks like they're going to split the Pioneer Arena between Hapoel and Maccabi. And also, I think Hapoel Jerusalem is also going to be playing in Belgrade. So I don't know if, I assume all the Israeli players were coming home. Were the foreign players coming back to Israel? I don't know the answer. And I wasn't going to ask. But again, I think that also plays a big factor in this. Having those three guys there, it's a big deal. I'm going to read you what Benko Bakrowski said here. This is still a sporting event. Without getting too political, this game is, of course, under extreme conditions. This is a very special game on so many levels. We can already see what kind of police presence is necessary to allow this game to take place, and in such a way that it is safe for everyone involved. We can already feel it. Then we will play a game against Israeli basketball professionals, Israeli coaches and team supervisors, and physiotherapists. They're at war, and a family in Israel who are directly and immediately affected by the war. There's nothing we can do. We can't put ourselves in that position. No one can even begin to imagine what that feels like. We can't do that. The only thing we can do is maybe give these people the gift of getting some normalcy in for 2 hours and playing a basketball game and really focusing on basketball. And that can be a gift for these people. That's what we plan to do. It was more than a gift, of course. So they lost by 30 points. But that's why we have a duty to do our best and to not become hesitant and timid, but to go into this game with the greatest respect, with our full potential, and to give these people this gift. Because as I said, I believe that it's unimaginable what's happening right now. Like these terrorist attacks, it's hard to put into words, and war as a whole is incomprehensible. That's why it's the only thing we can do. And it's very touching.
Very
touching. I think it was, well put. And I think that you're going to see that from a lot of teams. Now, I will say, let's shift gears for a second into the Champions League coming up, Ben. This coming Wednesday, both Hapoel Jerusalem and Hapoel Cologne will make their debuts. What is known, unfortunately, for Hapoel Cologne, they're playing in Bonn, at Bonn, and Bonn is not allowing any fans into the game due to the situation. They don't want to take any risk whatsoever. That we kind of, the coach of Hamburg alluded to with the police presence and, so forth and so on. So that is interesting. They're going to have their first game and nobody really knows how they're going to play. I mean, it's a big, you know, question, very big question mark over there. Bond's a very good team. Even though Bond was, you know, superb last season and, you know, won it all in the Champions League, this is a team that, you know, has some new players, but they're still very good. Hapoel Jerusalem is playing Galatasaray, and as of now, I don't think that they've officially stated where that game's going to be, because on their website, it still says Jerusalem Pius Arena. So that's, you know, I don't even know if they tried to switch home. I don't even know what they did at this point. It's like, you know, again, there's so little information and the teams are being very tight-lipped about it. And again, I think there's reasons, there are security reasons why they're being tight-lipped about it. And they should be, because any Israeli athlete or team abroad right now is a threat. There are threats against them. There's no question. And that's something to take very seriously. So I guess we'll find out where they're going to play that game.
One thing you talk about the threat, and we spoke about the threat to the Maccabi player. I think for those who haven't seen it, I don't know where exactly to see it, but their first game against Valencia, first game since the war broke out, there was that footage of them being accompanied by like 10 police vehicles to get to the stadium.
Presidential convoy, yeah.
Yeah. I'm laughing because of how ridiculous it is, because it's terrible. It's horrible. And this is just the sports team we're talking about. You know, you and I, we have all our friends that are feeling threatened as Jews, not just as, you know, yeah, supporters of Israel. Jews are threatened everywhere. It's unbelievable.
New York City, could you imagine? You're in a Cooper Union and you have to lock yourself in a library because you're being attacked by a pro-Hamas terrorist mob, anti-Israel, anti-Jewish mob. And by the way, if anybody, and I've always been fighting this, this is my big thesis when I taught a course called Zionism and Sports for 4 years to college students here in Israel that were, you know, in colleges in the U.S., that Jew and Israel is one and the same. Like, you can't separate the two. If you're anti-Zionist, anti-Israel, you're an anti-Semite. And that is, you know, all those people are saying, well, didn't they say that you can be anti-Israel and, you know, you're going to still like the Jews? No, it doesn't work like that. You can think about that, and you can pray that that's really the case, but that's not the case. So all those people that had, you know, thought they were going to escape under that that guise is getting a lesson of 1930s Europe very, very well right now. So it's not pleasant. I know that a lot of people are feeling very uncomfortable. Paul Tel Aviv play London Lions. Are going to be playing that game in London on November 1st. So there are three games this coming week, November 1st at 7 o'clock. I believe Jerusalem is playing. I think that game's going to be in, even though it hasn't officially been stated, it's going to be in Belgrade. 9 o'clock, Apollo Cholona is going to be playing. At 8 o'clock, Apollo Tel Aviv will be playing. Maccabi plays on Tuesday night against Milan. Their game against Real Madrid has been postponed to a later date. And then the following week, their home game is against their home game in Belgrade will be against Bayern Munich. So that is basically the latest going on in basketball, Ben. I think we hit a lot of topics here. We kind of went off little tangents here and there, but I guess that's what's going to happen right now, that, you know, things are going to go off in tangents and there's just a lot of uncertainty. Things change here, folks, by the minute, by the second. Anything can happen. Anything can happen here in Israel, Ben.
Yeah, 100%. We don't know what's going to happen from minute to minute.
It's crazy. It's crazy, and that's what we're doing. On a personal level, my office, we're hosting a solidarity mission that's going to be leaving Newark Airport on Tuesday, land in Israel on Monday. On Sunday is the leaves, and it lands on Monday morning. And they're going to be in Israel Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. So that's, you know, we're excited to be welcoming, a couple dozen people that are going to be going down to the south with us and seeing firsthand the atrocities and the massacre, the killing of 1,400 plus Jews. It's horrific. And then the next 2 days are going to be based in Jerusalem, but meeting many families that have lost loved ones that are now being held hostage as well. Other people that have been through this. So we're looking forward to doing that on a personal level. It's been a lot of hard work last few weeks. We've been able to host over 200 people from the South and the North in our guest house, which has been incredible. We've raised, you know, funds to cover those people that at the time weren't underneath the Pikudorov, under the home front command, that they'd be paying for them. Now, thankfully, the government has gotten involved with some of those people. And we've been, it's just, you know, tons of work. I know that everybody around the country has been putting in what they can and doing the best, Ben.
Yeah. And if we've got a couple of minutes just to detour to football, to soccer, because...
Yeah, sure. Let's do that. We have a couple of minutes left here.
And it's not about the football itself, but I think that we're seeing all these things of the hostages, the children have been taken, and it's heartbreaking. But I don't, being absolutely real here, I don't think I've cried about this as much as I did when I saw the ad that the Football Association put out yesterday. And I know you saw it, you shared it as well. For anyone, I don't know where you share, you can find it on my
Instagram. It's on my Twitter.
BPASK85, but it's that you're seeing things of, you know, empty Shabbat tables and everything, but this ad that the Israeli Football Association put out, it really, really hit for, I think, for any sports fan. It's something that I don't want to ruin it, but please check it out, because that's different things hit different people. But I think that was a really special ad that they put out.
Yeah, no question. Ben Pass, where can people reach out to you?
Twitter or Instagram, BPASK85.
Of course, me at The Sports Rabbi, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, sportsrabbi.com for the latest and greatest news, both in English and Hebrew. We deliver to you in both. Make sure you subscribe to us, leave us a 5-star rating, write us a nice review, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, wherever you listen to your podcast. Check us out all over the place. Get on Moshe's WhatsApp, and it's in Hebrew. Check out all the interviews. We have a ton of good stuff, Danny Avdia content, and much more. Ben Pask, wishing you a Shabbat Shalom and a Shabbat Shaket, a quiet Shabbat and a peaceful one as best as can be in the face of this war with Hamas.